Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Spiegel at Home.
First of all, congratulations. You know, it's nice to have a couple new faces at the Score and not just kidding.
Afternoons on the Score.
The next pitch, fly ball to left, shallow, playable. Steer is there, and the Reds have beaten the Cubs on the season's final day. Cincinnati wins it by a score of 3-0. The Cubs finish with a record of 83-79. The Reds finish 77-85.
The Hall of Famer, Pat Hughes, on the call. Always great with Pat, Coom, and Zach. Enjoy taking walks with them at night, listening to the games. It's fun.
I was listening to the Kyle Hendricks farewell game.
He's pretty great.
While visiting my dad over the weekend. So I'm in downtown Lambertville, New Jersey, just like walking around, looking through the shops, using the MLB at Bat app, listening to our broadcast for like an hour and a half. It was awesome. That was an incredible listen to a really cool and momentous day for Kyle.
A lot of frustration, though, for Cubs fans that look at this 83-win season and compare it to the last 83-win season and go, I was hoping that things would be better, especially with Craig Counsell coming in. Matt Spiegel's the host of Hit and Run. Like, he is on this every single day. And we know that when it comes to baseball in Chicago, you are an authority on this. So Jed Hoyer spoke. What did you take from it?
You know, there's a couple of Q&As that I want to play and talk through with you and the listeners. But overall, the big takeaway was that Jed Hoyer still believes in his vision. And his vision of building a team that is well-rounded with a lot of good players is still the goal. And when you listen with that in mind, you hear a man defending his vision. And like last year, the offseason and earlier in the year, and when they didn't do a lot of changes in the offseason, you heard a lot of what? You know, we're better the underlying metrics say we are better than an 83-79 team. Remember that mantra?
Yes.
The underlying metrics say we are better. And then they come back and they do the exact same thing after a couple of minor changes. So this time around, it sounded like there were a couple themes. And one of them was the ballpark, and another one was the weather as relates to the ballpark.
It's also really difficult to assess when you think about the way Wrigley Field played this year. Just the run scoring environment in general in Wrigley was very low, and that's something we have to look into a lot. The challenge with that is that it's the weather.
It was tough. It's tough to hear that part because, like, if Wrigley is playing down, then it is playing down for your opponents as well. And he does make that point. He said that they were second in home ERA. In all of baseball. Well, that's great. Well, you got to score more runs than you're allowing, and you didn't because of defense and because of a lack of power and a lack of bullpen at the beginning and yada yada. So it's tough for fans to hear that. I thought he blamed the May and June slump, and we just couldn't get out of our way, couldn't end the slump. Why couldn't we end the slump? And he blamed Wrigley and the weather, and those two things sounded like excuses for a man still believing in his vision.
Dan and I were kind of tracking the way that Wrigley was playing throughout the season. And we would talk with Ian Happ about it. He's like, yeah, the things are a little weird here, and we are trying to figure out why that is. But your point is the right one. It's really, is that where we're going? Like, when we hear from Jed, that being something that, of course, it's a factor. But to hear it when we're talking about the construction of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to build a team that, you know, maybe can overcome some of those factors.
Well, see, we know that Jed doesn't want to build something that becomes untenable and falls off the table at the end of the run. He comes by this belief honestly. It happened in Boston for him and Theo when they spent way too much free agent money and things fell apart. Carl Crawford and the like, John Lackey and the like. It happened here when they spent too much money poorly on the Yu Darvish contract, on the Brandon Morrow contract, on the what ended up being the Jason Hayward contract, and it hamstrung them, and it fell off the table, and Theo left, and Jed got a chance to build something again. And he referenced this quite a bit when he took over, what they don't want to be. They don't want to be the Cliff Lee Phillies that fell off the table. The Mike Ilitch Tigers that fell off the table, that hit a wall. He wants to build something more long-term. And that makes some logical sense when you zoom out, but does it make sense in building a baseball team? Let's listen to his Q&A with Patrick Mooney about the kinds of moves he has made and if those are still going to be the kinds of moves he makes.
Jed, since you took over, you've consistently made kind of rational long-term decisions to put the organization in a better place. This offseason, with kind of a playoff or bust type of situation, do you think more short-term? Do you go outside your comfort zone? Do you kind of take a big swing that maybe the Cubs haven't in a couple of years, whether it's trade, free agency? How do you look at that dynamic going forward?
Well, we haven't truly gotten into our offseason planning mode yet, so I think characterizing what we're going to do this winter, I think it's too early for that. I think in general, I think the goal is to build something that's sustainable. Craig actually talked about, building, 90 win teams. What he really means is, building teams that can project that year after year after year. That's a difficult thing to do. Only three teams in baseball were projected for 90 wins going into the season. So to get to a place where we can build our projections up and consistently make the postseason year after year, I think there's a level of discipline to do that. You don't want to take wild swings, and you don't want to do things that are going to expose you long term. I think the goal here is getting to a place where the playoffs are expectation every single year, that we're in a position to sustain success. I think we did that before. I think we got to a place where we made the playoff, I think, 6 out of 7 years. I think in doing that, we probably did take some chances. I think that led to a little bit of a trough here. But I do think that, getting back to just making good decisions on a long-term basis, drafting, developing well, I think truly having a healthy organization can lead us to that sustained success where, like I said, the playoffs are an expectation and not a surprise and not a one-year thing. And that's the goal, is not a one-year thing and pushing all in for a year. It's about how do we build it up to sustain that. And I think we're on the right path at doing that. And I think if we keep making, you know, good decisions, stacking those on top of each other, you know, we'll get to that point.
Lawrence, I think he comes by this fear honestly about how teams can have their run end and it get really bad and awkward at the end. But the issue to me is that this fear may be keeping them from building something great in the first place.
I don't like the binary of it. I don't like the idea of, well, if you do the thing where you push in for 1 year and then it's going to be a disaster afterwards. Where what we're seeing with the approach that they've taken over the last four seasons is they're right in the same place. They're in the same place that they fear. They're in the place of, we're not really a contender. And you still have a bloated payroll. And you're winning 83 games. So what master do you serve here? Because if you're I don't mean to speak for Cub fans. I think Cub fans themselves would appreciate a big swing instead of these kind of middling approaches to building something, even if that falls flat on your face.
See, the emotional part, of course everyone would appreciate a big swing. The question is, if you're taking the emotion out of it, can you do this without taking a big swing? Just dispassionately, as a team builder, does it even make sense to do this without taking a big swing? Because it hasn't worked for two seasons in a row. I think it makes logical sense. Certainly, it makes financial sense to stop short for an organization on the edge of the CBT. But it counts on their development staff and manager to create overachievement. It counts on hoping that one of your own young players emerges as a superstar. And this methodology, it is inherently anti-superstar contract. It is inherently anti $35, $40 million player or players. So when Sahadev Sharma steps up and asks this kind of thing directly, it is completely attuned to where we are in this conversation.
Here's Sahadev. It sounds like you're saying, like, we need players to outperform their projections. And I understand that it makes a lot of sense. Also, I guess as the Chicago Cubs with the, you know, big money market, wouldn't it make sense to also get a guy that projects to be that level and hope that others outperform their projections?
I think that, you know, those are conversations we'll have over the course of the next 3 or 4 weeks. I think, obviously, like I said before, I think I was trying to make the point that I think people always focus on the external when I think our job a lot of times is to focus on the internal. How do we make our own players better? What do we need to do as an organization? What do I need to do? What do these guys need to do to put us in position to have those guys have those kind of years? Because that ultimately is how you beat projections, is how you have a magical season, is you have a bunch of guys that outperform. So you can't only rely on external additions. That was kind of the point I was trying to make.
Man. And again, him creating a binary where a binary doesn't exist. You can do both.
You should do both.
You can focus in on what's happening internally to grow prospects. And because you're not the Pirates, nor the Reds, or the Rays, actually have the capacity and the money to do both. And that's why it's so frustrating to watch what the Cubs are, because they're the only team in their division that could do both.
Yes.
And he's choosing to not do both.
Well, and it does feel like he's choosing to not do both. I think of the 2019 Nationals, who broke through and finally won the World Series after years and years and years, and it's after Bryce Harper, obviously, and they did have the great benefit of Trey Turner making $3.7 million, but Max Scherzer was making $37 million. Anthony Rendon was making $18 million. Ryan Zimmerman, $18 million. And their best player, the guy that really helped them win it all, was Juan Soto making $578,000. You have to do both. You only win if you do both. You only get there. I mean, the Dodgers are a bloated, enormous payroll, and they've cheated some things with the way they're doing it. but they need their young players to play very well to go along with their superstars, or else they won't win the World Series. The Phillies need Bryson Stott and Alec Bohm to be really good along with their Schwarber and their Castellanos and their Harper. That's how you do it. They need Christopher Sanchez to pitch well in their playoff rotation and Ranger Suarez in addition to Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola. You do both to win in MLB at the biggest and highest levels.
I know that because we do this for a living, it gives us the opportunity to spend someone else's money. But this place that we're at with the Cubs in particular, where we fetishize the business of baseball instead of the winning of baseball, has reached a boiling point with me. Like this kind of like spreadsheet, appreciate all of the process that we're being very fiscally responsible. A texter pointed out, and it's a great point, you have a high payroll for a mediocre team. How is that good? It's not. It's not. So pick the lane and be all right with it, especially when you're in the last year of your deal.
Well, that's why. I mean, look, what happens often, and it's funny that I referenced the Nationals, somebody's got to get emotional and go a little crazy to make that big superstar acquisition. The Nationals, it was ownership. The Lerners were the owners, and the Borises always went at the Lerners. Scott Boras would get them to go crazy and do the overspend. Jed, of course, and Tom have their relationship with Scott Boras, and I know it's bothered you, Lawrence, and I've been on the other side of it. I thought it was great to see Boras lose with Cody Bellinger. I thought it was great to see that. See Boras lose a bunch in the offseason, because I don't like the sway that Boras holds over an entire industry.
I'm okay with Boras losing that particular negotiation. What I hate, though, is that while you had him there, you could have talked to him about Matt Chapman, who had a phenomenal year, and you could have offered him a similar deal to what he got in San Francisco before he signed the $168 million extension for being a 6-effing war player. That's what you needed, and it wasn't even greed, it was need. He played a position that you had to have, and you didn't fix, and you couldn't fix.
But
you tried to fix it in all sorts of ways throughout this season. And then the guy that you brought in specifically to fight the ballpark environment of the run environment, because he's a pull hitter, and he's going to be able to pull the ball out of the ballpark. That bleep didn't work. Because you're taking half measures. You're half stepping, trying to get to 90 wins instead of taking proven players that have done more than just there. Well, it's kind of interesting the way that this guy goes about his approach. Matt Chapman's a real dude. You could have just gotten a real dude.
Yeah, I was leery of Chapman because of the offensive last 4 months he had in Toronto, and then they started bad in San Francisco. But the defense is exquisite and would have been great. And you referencing Isak Paredes, so it's Morel and Paredes as the combo platter and a little bit of Patrick Wisdom. We're going to have such good hot stove baseball conversations on this show. Oh, my God. It's going to be freaking delightful.
I like baseball.
I'm aware. it's really interesting because it makes logical sense. And I think it when you zoom out, I can see the sense that Jed is making. But who's going to get emotional and go over the top? Unless you can rig
it. Is it Council?
It's crazy to think that Council would be the emotional guy to push and say, what are we doing here? I came to this big market team because I thought we were going to go after stuff. I thought you were going to give me a better chance to do it. And if we can't do it with development, then we got to go buy players. Come on, we can't keep seeing Milwaukee and keep having the gap here. I don't think it's Council.
I do.
I think Council's going to revamp some of the development stuff and some of the organizational stuff that goes on. I think it might still be Jed, out of some self-preservation.
I think that it's Council, and maybe this
in terms
was,
of spending.
This was me looking for it inside of the press conference today, Spiegs. But I thought that the exchange with Bruce and Jed about Council, it lent credence to my belief that it's going to be Council.
Judd, will you explain the dynamic between you and Craig this year? And he took a couple occasions to talk about how, you know, the narrative and the communication is continuing to grow and is, has to get better. What's your perspective of that relationship?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I couldn't be happier that he's a Cub. You know, he's a great manager, a brilliant baseball mind. I think all of us learn from him on a daily basis. And you know, we signed him to a 5-year deal, not a 1-year deal. And I think his impact on the organization, his impact on all of us, myself included, will continue to grow. So I'm you know, just as glad he's here as the day we signed him, and he's going to have a huge impact on the Cubs going forward for sure.
As far as your relationship, you know, and I think people probably are naive to think that someone can just walk right in and we have a great relationship and understanding right away.
I think with every relationship, it's growing. I mean, I think that, you know, I have the utmost respect for what he does. I think he's really great at what he does. And I think we'll just continue to communicate. And I think part of these jobs is you have hard conversations. I mean, the shape of this season, you know, led to some hard, you know, hard times, difficult times. And I think we just have to communicate through those. But like I said, I couldn't be happier. He's in our uniform and on our side.
So good. They're having difficult conversations. Jed said he wanted it, and I think that's true. And we know that Craig has been pushing and is going to push. Some of the coaches being replaced in terms of different voices is part of it. Some of the development things that Craig is so good at, the holistic organization things, are certainly going to be part of it. And you believe that Craig might push for bigger free agent spending.
I can't imagine that Craig Council walked into this job knowing that it was with the Cubs, with them paying the expenditure they did to get him, and have him go, wait, so you want me to do what we've been doing in Milwaukee? Well, I could stay in Milwaukee. Now, granted, they can't pay him what the Cubs could pay him, but it's supposed to be the best of both worlds. It's supposed to be the best manager and the best players. What happens when you get both of those things together? Instead of saying, well, we'll win in the margins, and this is what I mean with the spreadsheet baseball stuff, we'll win in the margins because Craig will get every bit of talent out of the players that we have on the roster. And while it's fair to expect that from a guy who's making $8 million a year, I think it's a flawed theory on how to build a winning baseball team.
We're going to have wonderful off-season conversations, and people are wondering who some of the free agents are beyond Juan Soto. We'll deal with all that. Let me just say this. I think you're going to see a bold trade for somebody who is a free agent to be, either in 1 year or two. You're going to see another trade. I thought the Paredes trade was a really good one. Morel's OPS was under 600 in Tampa Bay. And I think Paredes, with an offseason and a fresh start, is going to do a lot better than he did offensively in his full time here. I do believe that. But I think you're going to be a bold trade, whether it's Vlad Guerrero Jr. to play first base with Michael Busch becoming a role player or moving inside if they make it some other kind of deal. I think you're going to see a trade for a superstar caliber player.
I know I'm producing on the air and you're not really supposed to do that, but tomorrow when we have a little bit more time, I want to talk to the Cub fan about all of this because we haven't. Like, we needed a little bit of space to talk about some of this stuff. Whether it's on Twitch or the comments in YouTube or folks on the text line, I think there are a lot of Cubs fans that are angry. And it's not, I think it's gone past disappointment. I think disappointment was last year. I think looking and going into the season, you kind of had to kind of tilt your head and squint to go, yeah, I guess they might be a playoff team. I think people are rightfully, righteously angry about where things stand with the Cubs. So I want to give them an opportunity to lift their voices and be a part of this tomorrow.
I love it. Bruce's first question I thought was great. Jed, could you explain to us the difference between 83 and 79 and 83 and 79? That's how it feels.
I thought Bruce was real strong in the press conference today. Real strong. Baseball is mourning the loss of Pete Rose. Complicated is doing a lot of work. Whatever it is that we say that about Pete
100%.
Rose.
I have a childhood memory I need to share with you, but you brought something in for show and tell.
I did. I wanted you to see it. It is my most prized piece of sports memorabilia.
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
And it has to do with Pete Rose. I'll share next.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
On the Score.
Spiegel and Holmes Show Flashback. Flashback.
Harry Carey back at Wrigley Field. Beautiful day out in the bleachers. Pete Rose on deck. He's moved to within one of Ty Cobb's record and within two of establishing his own. The next hit he gets ties Ty Cobb's record.
What an afternoon here at Wrigley Field. Pandemonium here at Wrigley Field, an unbelievable moment. It just sends chills up your spine. And you can see Pete Rose saying the crowd to Leon Durham. What a appreciative bunch.
How great is that to have the local part of baseball history right there in front of us?
Man! Steve Stone on the play-by-play. That's amazing. Lawrence, just the baseball part of it first. If we can, 4,256 hits, ain't nobody breaking that. Ever.
No.
Right?
Although if you were to put Ichiro's hits, never mind.
You're right. But he said, he told Joe Posnanski, guess what? Nobody's breaking that record. First 3,000 are easy. Baseball's an easy game to play when you're at 100%. But try getting those hits when you're old, when your bat is slow, when your back hurts. You ask somebody in 100 years who holds the hit record, they'll tell you. Pete Rose, 4,256.
I need to. I'm looking it up now. I need to know who the current active hit leader is in baseball.
It's a good question.
It makes sense. Freddie Freeman.
Whew.
2267.
Yeah, he's only got 2,000 more to go.
Yep.
4256.
And he's 47 years old.
He can get there.
Let me give you the top 10. Okay. You want to guess some?
Yeah, these are top 10.
Top 10 current hit leaders. I already gave you number one.
Oh, God. I got to
think older guys.
Paul Goldschmidt.
Paul Goldschmidt is number four. Very nice.
Is Nolan Arenado up there?
Number six, 1826 for him. This guy is technically active, but not after what happened this past weekend. Charlie Blackmon.
Oh, Charlie Blackmon. Yeah, that's right. He retired. He had he announced it and took a lap at Colorado.
It was actually really beautiful.
Was like it? I didn't see it.
That moment was beautiful because he got a hit, and then they took him out. And it was beautiful. It was like everyone was standing. He looked a little weepy. It was he took a moment, like he got back to the dugout, mm-hmm. and he took a moment and he looked around, and they started chanting his name. It was really great.
How about JD Martinez?
Very good, number nine.
Mookie Betts.
Mookie hasn't played enough
that's
yet.
Good guess,
but David, it's a really good bet.
Alex Bregman's not quite old enough.
Nope. Teammate.
Jose Altuve.
There you go. Number two, 2232.
Of course.
This guy surprises me, but it shouldn't surprise you considering his longevity. Plays in the division, in the Cubs division.
In the Cubs division. Oh, Andrew McCutchen.
Very good, Speaks. Number three, 2152.
Yeah, and McCutchen's an incredible career. Incredible career.
Manny Machado.
Very good. Number five.
Wow.
With 1,900 hits.
That's amazing. That guy's going to get 3,000. If he wants to, we'll just keep going. I do not think of him as a mid-career guy still. Of course he is. Bryce Harper
is number 12. One guy used to play for the Cubs.
Nick Castellanos.
No. Castellanos is 16.
Okay, I figured Castellanos would be up there. Not Jason Hayward.
No.
Who lined out.
Jason Hayward's number 21.
Okay. He lined out to end the playoff game today with the bases loaded. Good at bat.
DJ LeMahieu is number 10.
what a list.
And Carlos Santana is number 8.
I love all his records.
We got the whole list.
All right. Last baseball thing on the stats. Pete Rose is 6th all-time in runs scored. He's 9th all-time in total bases. He only hit 160 home runs. That, you look at his numbers, 160 career home runs, and to be 9th in total bases is insane.
That's wild.
To be 6th in runs scored and only hit 160 home runs. He had 13.
He was on some great teams.
For sure. But just the fact, how about 14th all-time in walks? 14th all-time in walks for a guy who didn't have power, and yet he still walked. A guy, they were
considering
so afraid.
Considering all of those plate appearances, you go like, yeah. That's a guy that was kidding his way on with all of those walks. It's insane.
It's insane that he had those kind of numbers while not being a power guy. It's just absolutely insane.
All right, can I share the please, show and tell?
Show and tell, I want it. Okay. I need show and tell. While you're grabbing it, I'll tell people quickly then that I was a kid with my family at the Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia, Vet Stadium in Philly in 1975. We all went to see the Phillies against the Big Red Machine, and Pete Rose rounded first, trying to stretch a single into a double, and his helmet fell off. And I said to my dad, "Who's that?" And he told me that was Pete Rose. That was like, I remember that early in terms of visceral baseball. Who's that guy? He's running so hard, his helmet fell off.
And I mean, that's like a lasting picture of 100%. Pete Rose, him diving like Superman.
That, so when you see that at the end of Twib and you see him diving at first into third base, I was thinking about that image as a kid.
There's also the All-Star game. There's that.
When he barrels over Ray Fosse and does terrible things to him.
Yeah. So. So,
all right, thank you for the music, Tanny. That hits me right in the feels in the good place.
That means I just finished breakfast. That's what that means. That means I just finished breakfast on a Saturday morning, and I'm about to enjoy the hell out of myself.
That or Cubs baseball's on the air at the end of Hit and Run.
That too.
All right, so you're holding what looks to be a movie script or some kind of incredible binder of something, sir.
In my hands is a copy of the Dowd Report. And not only is it a copy of the Dowd Report, it is a signed, personalized copy of the Dowd Report.
By John Dowd?
By John Dowd.
What?
Here, Speak, you can take a look. Now I can tell you the story on how I got it.
All right.
That belongs in a museum.
It does. The Dowd Report, by the way, for anybody who doesn't know, maybe some of the younger listeners, was the report on whether Pete Rose bet on baseball or not, as commissioned by the commissioner of baseball, because he does a lot of commissioning. And John Dowd did it and filed it, and you have a copy of it.
Signed by John Dowd to me.
What the F, man?
So when I was producing, me and Maddie were producing the Murph and Fred show. We got John Dowd on the air with Murph. Murph was like, let's, can we get this guy? And I was like, sure, let's do it. Let's go find him. So we called the law office and we talked with his people and we got John Dowd on the show.
Wow.
It was a really great interview. Murph and Fred knocked it out of the park. Cause you know, Murph was just like really into all of this.
In his cups for that one.
So after Dowd finishes the interview, I pick up the phone, and I was a fairly serious gamer at the time. And I said to him, I said, John, do you know that MVP Baseball replaced Barry Bonds with a character named John Dowd? And he goes, what? I said, yeah, well, Barry didn't give his likeness, so they turned him into John Dowd.
How cool is that?
So he was like, that's amazing. I get a letter from John about a week later with this. His grandson was playing and he found it and he thought it was hilarious.
Wow.
So he sent me a nice note and then sent me a bound, signed, personalized copy of the Dowd Report.
That is super cool. That is super cool.
It's a nice little piece of score history there.
That is amazing. I'm looking at it in here, and there's like, there's stories about specific Reds games where the gamblers, Bertolini attended with two tickets. Pete Rose left two tickets for Bertolini for this game in June of 87, proving that they knew each other. Wow, man. That is incredible stuff. I would love to look through this.
You can keep it if you promise to bring it back.
Yeah, man, I'll keep it for a day or two and take a peek.
Yeah.
I love it.
Why not?
I mean,
I don't really have a ton of sports memorabilia, but
I can't take this.
It's sports and score and personal. So,
yeah,
I've kept it for forever, and it's just, people will see it when they come over, and they're like, what is that? And I'm like, if you're not a baseball person, you might not get it, but wow. I figured you would get it.
All right, man, it's amazing. I mean, it's like, because the Pete Rose thing, and I watched the HBO documentary just like, a month and a half ago or 6 weeks ago. It's good. It's definitely good. But it's like, it's such a sad story, isn't it? It's like the sadness of a man who let his moral compass get away from him, and he did not fully own up to it for years and years. It became an embarrassment how stubborn and cavalier he was. A friend of mine once asked Pete Rose when he was signing baseballs, he said, Pete, could you sign a baseball that says, I bet on baseball? Signed Pete Rose. It was before he eventually admitted it, right? And Pete said, nah, I can't do that. And the guy said, how about $200? He said, okay. And he signed the baseball saying, I'm sorry I bet on baseball. Signed by Pete Rose. Gave him the baseball for $200.
Wow.
It's like the living emblem of hypocrisy that dude was very, very sad, living, breathing hypocrisy. And later in his life, he admitted it, and he wanted forgiveness, but the need was so obvious, like so unseemly, so craven. It was like a lot of people did not want to grant that guy forgiveness by the time he came around.
This is a miss by me. I forgot about this until just this moment. Do you know that there's a member of the Score staff that used to host a show with Pete Rose?
I was thinking about this person in this moment right now that I didn't text my condolences.
Yeah,
to this
Pappy.
Person.
No.
Mm-mm. Currently on the Score roster.
Who used to host with Pete Rose?
Yes, I think for two or three years.
David Haw?
No.
I was thinking, was it a? Are we talking about where was this?
In Vegas,
on the Sports Fan Radio Network or someplace like that.
I think that's right. Double Z. Zach Zaidman used to do a show with Pete Rose.
Oh my God, I forgot that. Or maybe I never even knew that. That's amazing.
Wild, right? You talk about now. There's a guy who's connected to everybody. Like Zach is like one person away from everybody.
Wow, man. I wonder what. Yeah, I'm sure he's got some stories from that.
Yeah,
that is.
He
bananas.
Sure does. He's got a whole lot of them, and I don't think that he can tell a lot of them on the air.
A brilliant and impossible career for Pete Rose, and a really sad, haunting last half of his life, and you know, a forever debated topic about whether he should go into the Hall of Fame, and if they want to, they could let him in now if they felt like it.
Look, in the history of the score, if it was July and a host was looking for something to do, just should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame?
Light him up,
and then just give out the phone number.
Sorry about the lights.
Back after this on The Score.
Thank you guys for being here. Thanks to everybody at home for your hospitality for a newcomer like me with these gentlemen and Gibby and Carlos Pena and the entire crew here. This state and this city deserves this. And I'm glad to have shared it with you guys.
You're a Detroiter now, man. Once you're in, you're in. You're official.
And that's the thing. You made a life-changing, career-changing decision to come here and look at where the team goes.
This is in no way about me.
What the f*** is this world? What have they done to us? What did they do to us?
They took your guy in full, and then they made the playoffs, and now Benetti's a Detroiter, and now Tanny and Shane have to sit there with Robbie Triano behind them wearing a Detroit Tigers jersey.
Robbie was wearing one yesterday, too.
Yeah, it's the same one. He smells like trash.
As a matter of fact, I meant to text Robbie because I swear Sunday morning I saw you riding a bike down 56th Street. Okay, all right, then it was you.
Yeah, he did.
All right, when I was getting on the train to go to the Bears game, I was like, I think that was just Robbie.
Yeah, and he was wearing a Detroit Tigers bike outfit, right?
Yes.
He just has everything he has is in Tigers colors and style.
He did the whole thing, which is great.
Mm-hmm. He's going to go home and put on his Tigers jammies before bed.
It's not about Jason, at least not to him, but it is for us, and we're happy that he's happy. We want to give you something because we appreciate you. Caller 6 right now to The Score's contest line. 312-540-0670 will win a $200 gift card to the arcade at Wonderverse in Oak Brook. You can join Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and myself at Wonderverse in Oak Brook this Sunday for our pre- and post-game shows before Chicago takes on Carolina. I cannot wait to be back with my guys, Olin and Patrick. Mully's got the weekend off. So they were like, do you want to host pre- and post? And I was like, hell bleeping yeah.
That's awesome, man. Good for you. Enjoy.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I'll be listening I'm on my way to the game and on my way home from the game.
Oh, awesome. So now it'll be reversed.
Yeah, right?
Like now the point of view will be reversed where I'm sitting there with the football players and you're going to have the actual experience of being with the people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
That's even better.
And
you're with the football. You get to watch the game with those guys.
I love watching the games with those guys. I've never been to Wonderverse. Everything that I've been told about Wonderverse is amazing. It sounds like my kind of place. The only thing that I'm sad about is that I'll be working. Hmm. So I got to make a whole nother trip out there so that I can enjoy all of the cool stuff. And anytime you're talking about old school arcade games to play, like I can get lost in a place like Wonderverse playing games. Absolutely lost.
Q-Bert.
That's your go-to?
Dig Dug.
Centipede and Millipede.
I love me some Q-Bert. I love me some Dig Dug.
Either of the punch outs is good. I like a place that's got skee ball. I like to get down with a little bit of skee ball if I can.
NBA Jam.
Oh, hell yeah. Shout out to Tim Kitzrow.
Absolutely. And how about Miss Pac-Man? Is still gettable.
I want it sped up.
Where are you in terms of your quality of play?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I want it sped up, though. I don't want to play the game. I don't want to have to go through the first 8 boards before it gets fast. I want it to be fast when we play.
Okay. All right, well, if you got one, you got a good sped up Ms. Pac-Man game, you call it out, I'll meet you there.
Well, I'll scout Wonderverse and see if they have one, and if so, then we can go there and we can kick it. Thanks to everyone involved with today's show. This was really amazing. Kobe White, go back and listen to the Kobe White interview. It was top-notch. Jason Leisure joined us. Doug Kramer, as the mini fridge, joined us, and it was delightful. Shout-out to Connor O'Donnell, who made that segment brilliant with his production. And our guy, Big Ann Heron, is going to be up next, and he's going to be fantastic. Make sure you check that out. For Tanny and Shane and Spiegs, I'm Lawrence. Thank you so much for the love that you have shown the Spiegel and Holmes show. We hope to repay you tomorrow at 2 here on The Score.
All right, guys. Have a great life.
Have a good show.
We'll try.
What?
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.